If you are now 30 years old when this happened, at the time you would have been 8 years old. If you are my age, you would have been 38 years old. But almost everyone in this room, either firsthand or through the story, remembers this date, August the 31st, 1997. It was on that day, in a tunnel in Paris, that Princess Diana was killed. And this was an event, a story that rocked the world. On the 5th of September of that same year, another death happened, but because of the death of Diana, this death was in some ways eclipsed. For on that day, the 5th of September in 1997, Mother Teresa of Calcutta also died. And so these two famous people, one in a way, Diana, who represented all that the world can offer, and in her own life, in her own way, embodied a certain genuine kindness, but was very much a princess of the world. And to contrast this death with the death of the woman who was known as the Sister of the Gutter, Mother Teresa, who again, if you remember, 3 years ago, on the 4th of September in 2016, was canonized by Pope Francis. So I want to have these two women before you because I want to introduce a third person, also in his home time, very famous, Malcolm Muggeridge, who was the most famous journalist of his generation, a man who, as a young man, was an atheist. He became an agnostic, but he gave his life to studying the Dianas of the world. But then something happened to Malcolm Muggeridge. In the late 1960s, he went to Calcutta, and he met Mother Teresa. And out of that meeting, he wrote a book that some of you have perhaps read called Something Beautiful for God. But this is what Malcolm Muggeridge says about his encounter with Mother Teresa. He said that her selfless work for India's destitute brought him to a place of a dramatic transformation in his own life. When he saw how the light of God illuminated the wizened face of this dear nun who had complete trust in God. Listen to what Muggeridge says about his own life. He said, I came to realize the pathetic condition of my worldly cynicism. I came to realize the pathetic condition of my worldly cynicism. Now, it took Muggeridge many years before he became a Catholic. But at the age of 79, in 1982, Malcolm Muggeridge was received into the Roman Catholic Church in a small parish church in a rural part of England. One of the things that we know from Mother Teresa is this beautiful quote, I alone cannot change the world. I can cast a stone across the waters and I can create many ripples. I can cast a stone across the waters and create many ripples. In a way, Princess Diana had that personality of one big wave after another, just coming in and hitting the shore. But Mother Teresa, one ripple after another, after another, after another. For it seems that she understood what Jesus meant when he said, unless you give up all of your possessions, you cannot be my disciple. Now, hear carefully what Jesus says. He's not saying you can't be a believer. Many people believe in Jesus, but he says this is about discipleship. It's about the realization that as you live in this world, that I need to be first. And he makes it so clear in today's gospel. He says, you have to hate your own life. Now, he doesn't literally mean, in a sense, hate ourselves, but we have to put ourselves second so that he can be first. And this is something Mother Teresa, through her life, embodied in such a profound way, and the theme that our lessons underscore. In our first reading from Wisdom, we're called to give up possession of our intellect. That is to somehow think that I can make sense and understand the world just based on my own intelligence. And that I can understand what it is to live in relation to God just based on my own insight. Our reading from Wisdom is beautiful because it asks some very, very significant questions. Listen to this again. For who can discern the counsel of God? Or who can discern what the Lord wills? In other words, can you figure it out on your own what God wills? Can you determine the counsels of God? And of course, this is what is called a rhetorical question. It has only one answer. And here the answer is no one. No one can discern the counsels of God. No one can understand his wisdom unless it is somehow revealed. And then there is this very, I find, poetically powerful verse. Let me read it again. For a perishable body weighs down the soul. Do you ever feel that way? I'm not talking about because you might feel you're overweight. No, I'm talking about this perishable body. Because we're in this material world, it can so weigh down the soul that it's hard to have that sense that we're living in the presence of God. And then it goes on to say, and this earthly tent burdens a thoughtful mind. Have you ever had that experience? Where just the burden of being in this earthly tent, it weighs down on the mind. Lord, how do we make sense of it all? And what Wisdom would invite us to understand, that in a world like this, that we are to understand the gift that while there are many things we as humans can perceive and understand when it comes to the understanding of the world, think of all that science has done, all that modern medicine has been able to do, all the kind of things that we have now technologically that are the result of men and women applying understanding to the realm of this world. But when it comes to know God, all of our technology, all of our science, all of our economic advances, they are insufficient. And that's the amazing thing about what happened to Malcolm Muggeridge's life. A man with a keen intellect, a man with an ability to write, saw in Mother Teresa this woman who was willing to give her intellect, to surrender it to God. The story is told of Mother Teresa that once she went into a baker and she was begging for bread for a little boy. And the baker spat in her face. And she said, I thank you for that gift that you have given to me. Now what gift will you give to this boy? And that so touched this baker that from that day on, he did everything he could to provide bread for Mother Teresa's orphan children. Another thing that she was willing to surrender was her right to take revenge. That she had this way of being present within two people that is very reminiscent of what we heard in our reading from Philemon. Let me just briefly tell you about this beautiful little book. It's the shortest of St. Paul's letters. It's only one chapter long. And it's a personal letter that he actually wrote while he was in jail. And he gave it to this young man named Onesimus to take back to his master, Philemon. Now, we don't know the details, but somehow Onesimus had done something to slight Philemon. And Philemon was angry, and some way wanted to get revenge. Onesimus, perhaps aware of this, said, I better leave town. And so he left. And he went and he visits St. Paul, who at this time was in jail. And something happens during their encounter where Onesimus, who when he arrived was not a Christian, left a Christian. And now St. Paul is writing a letter to Philemon and saying, receive Onesimus back, not as a slave, but as your brother. Whatever it is he did to you, be willing to let go of your feeling that I can harbor resentment. Listen again to a couple of these beautiful verses. Paul, writing to Philemon, says, I am sending Onesimus, that is my own heart, back to you. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. And so he's not saying to Philemon, I demand that you accept Onesimus. But he says, no, out of love for this one who is now my own heart, receive him back, not as a slave, but as a beloved brother. I can't imagine what it must have been like to have lived in India and to experience what Mother Teresa experienced day after day after day. But this is the thing, she had this profound understanding to be able to see in the poorest of the poor the heart of Jesus Christ. And in part, it's because every day she began her day with the Mass and she saw Jesus Eucharistically present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in a host, and thereby, by extension, could see him in those who might slight her, might insult her, might treat her with great disrespect. But she gave up the possession of her right to give and to take revenge. One of the things Mother Teresa said about the material West was that she came to this part of the world, and in some way she said, the lives of the wealthy are impoverished because they have so little sense of the wisdom and the counsels of God. And that's where our gospel comes into play. For Jesus says we're to live in such a way that we realize we're building a tower. We're engaged in a battle. And unless we take right account for the nature of our lives and what our life is about, we're going to miss the boat altogether. And how hard this is for us. How hard I know this is for me. It's so easy to become distracted by the trinkets of materialism and to allow myself to be, in a way, dissuaded and turned away from what is so important and spend my time invested in that which is of great less importance. And so, as we think today of our readings, as we think of Mother Teresa, listen to these words that she wrote. In the modern world, Catholics need to be willing to enter into the darkness of this world so that from heaven, the saints will send their light to those who are still caught amidst the darkness on earth. May we be inspired by this remarkable woman. May we be encouraged by the example of Malcolm Muggeridge, who in his autobiography that he wrote after his conversion penned these poetic words. And he's speaking of himself here. It is precisely when every earthly hope has been explored and found wanting, when every possibility of help from earthly sources has been sought and is not forthcoming, when every recourse this world offers, moral as well as material, has been explored to no effect. When in the shivering cold, the last twig has been thrown onto the fire, and in the gathering darkness, every glimmer of light has finally flickered out. It is then that Christ's hand reaches out sure and firm. This is what Jesus means by giving up our possessions. It's giving up that sense that somehow this world is going to satisfy us and give us what we ultimately need. But that sure hand that reaches out firm is the hand that guided St. Teresa of Calcutta and can inspire us to surrender possession of our intellects, allow us to be willing to be slighted and still forgive, and to give up our very lives, so that you and I and this parish of St. Peter's can be a place where we cast stones across the waters and create many ripples.